Chapter 4. Telling Hannah the Story. There were around 40 people lying dead near the hole, burnt beyond recognition. Others ran blindly towards Woking in panic. Two women and a little boy were trampled by the hysterical crowd and left to die on the ground. Messengers rushed into town and sent news by telegram to newspapers. Ashton ran across the fields on his way home. Finally, he could go no further. Exhausted, he fell near the bridge across the canal. He lay on the ground for some time, his mind blank. After a while, he sat up, confused. For a moment, he could not understand how he got there. He was dirty, his hat was gone, and his jacket was torn. Did these things really happen? He asked himself. Or did I imagine it all? Things like that don't happen in real life. He heard a train rush over the bridge, and it was gone. He was comforted hearing the train. It was so real and familiar. It gave the illusion that nothing strange was really happening. Ashton stood up and walked unsteadily towards home. He heard people in their gardens talking about normal, everyday life. Obviously, they didn't know about the terrible events not far away. A group of people were speaking at the entrance to one of the nearby houses. Ashton stopped near them. "Did you hear about the Martians?" Ashton asked. "They came in a spaceship from Mars." "Oh, sure," said one of the women and laughed. "Maybe it will bring some tourists to Woking." The others laughed too. Ashton was angry. He wanted to describe the horrors, but he didn't have words to explain the heat ray and all the people dying. "You won't be laughing soon," he said, and walked away. At last, Ashton arrived home. Hannah opened the door, shocked at his strange appearance.
"What happened?" she asked anxiously. "You look terrible."
Ashton went into the dining room and sat down. He drank some wine. When he was calm, he told his wife about the Martians and the heat ray.
"The Martians look like giant brains," he said. "They've got big faces with huge eyes and many tentacles under their mouths. They use their tentacles like arms."
Hannah looked at Ashton in horror.
"They sound disgusting," she said. "Weren't you terrified?"
"One was looking at me while he was climbing out of the spaceship," Ashton replied. "It scared me so much that I ran into the forest."
"What happened then?" asked Hannah.
"Another Martian climbed out of the spaceship. I don't know how many were in there," said Ashton. "But the real horror was when a thin metal tube with a disc on the top came out of the spaceship. There was a great flash of light and greenish smoke appeared."
"I can't believe this," Hannah said.
"It was death," Ashton said. "Flames kept shooting from the disc. It was a heat ray like nothing on Earth. It killed and burned every person in its way, including Ogilvy. I can't bear to think of him lying there dead." Hannah trembled, her face white.
"Ogilvy's dead?" she said. "That's terrible. Are they going to kill us all?"
Ashton tried to calm Hannah. "The Martians move very slowly, so they can't really go anywhere."
"But what will happen if another spaceship lands near here?" Hannah asked fearfully. "What will we do?"
"We'll be okay. I think it's hard for them to move because of the Earth's gravity," Ashton said. "It's different to the gravity on Mars. A Martian's body weighs more here than on Mars, and that's why they move so slowly." Ashton put his hand on Hannah's.
"Don't worry, dear," he said.
"The Martians have acted stupidly. They're dangerous because they're terrified.
Perhaps they didn't expect to find any intelligent life on Earth. If things get out of control, a bomb in the hole will kill them all.
I hope you're right, Hannah said.
Looking at his wife's anxious face, Ashton even started to believe it. He finished the wine, unaware that many strange, terrible days lay ahead for both of them.